In Vancouver, I am Plant on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. Sam Sullivan joins me again. He was on the program back in 2004, and since then he completed one term as mayor of the city of Vancouver from 2005 to 2008. For 12 years before that, he was a member of city council. He joins me now to talk about the public salon that he is hosting Thursday, the 23rd of September at the Vancouver Playhouse. He's presenting the event with a Global Civic Policy Society, which he founded. The event's speakers and presenters will include Chief Justice Lance Finch, Bill Reese, Dr. Nicole Obey from Doctors Without Borders, Sal Ferreras, Ken Lum, the journalist Peter McKnight, and the great Chuck Davis. They'll present talks and more. We'll get Sam to tell us more. The event is from 7:30 to 9 p.m. Tickets can be had at Tickets Tonight. Their website is ticketstonight.ca. The website for more is globalcivic.org. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Sam Sullivan. Good morning, Mr. Sullivan.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So, how have you been?
Oh, I've been great. I'm very living a very peaceful, idyllic life since politics, and enjoying the idea of engaging with ideas and interesting people, thinkers and doers of the city, and I want to share them with everyone else.
Do you miss politics at all?
I can't say I miss politics. You know, it's in fact, I get cold sweats thinking about public hearings and things like that. No, it's 15 years.
Yeah.
It's I do understand what they say about public service. You know, it certainly is taking your life and sort of putting it on hold and getting involved and doing the work of the city.
So this organization, the
Global Civic Policy Society.
Yeah, and you founded that how many years ago?
I founded that since becoming mayor.
Yeah.
Since ending my term as mayor, it was actually some people that were very interested in public policy. I encouraged them to get it going, and nothing really happened with it. So when I finished my term, I took over as the volunteer president and decided, this has got so much potential.
So this event on the 24th, or the 23rd, sorry, Thursday the 23rd, this is not the first public salon, right?
Well, I've had five, but in different formats. I've had one before on June the 9th at the Playhouse Theater, and it went so well that I decided to stay with that formula. And basically, we have a very interesting, eclectic, diverse mix of speakers, and I try to make sure that they're completely different from each other. And they speak and they're given 7 minutes. And I basically say, if you had 7 minutes to tell the citizen something you think is really important for them to know, what would it be? And so it really is a great discipline for the speakers. They, they have to really think about what it is that they want to say. And it's great for the public. You know, we have the internet sort of attention span where, you're not sure how, if you want to start surfing, if you're not happy with what you're hearing and you think it doesn't connect with you. Well, at the public salon, you're only into it for 7 minutes. You know, it's not a huge investment. But you can really get the essence of people's views.
I read somewhere that you'd host salons like this at your house over dinner, right?
Actually, at other people's homes. Okay. And also, recently, I've been hosting them in a private hotel room, where I, at the Opus Hotel, and I would bring about, 9 or 10 interesting people that I always wanted to get to know more. And I would bring them together and introduce them to each other. And over the years, this has been about 10 years I've been doing this now, and I'm just so amazed at who connects, who develops relationships. We got people that are researchers that are now working together. One couple even got married.
Really?
and businesses formed from the salons, and people got to know each other. And so I'm very, very excited about the whole idea of the salon, and I wanted to bring it to a broader public.
Did it inform the job of being mayor?
Oh, yeah. I these were definitely the non-political, and so are the ones that I'm holding at the Playhouse Theater. I don't tell anybody what to say, or, I don't have any editorial control over their time. I say, look, it's your 7 minutes. You're a real thinker or a doer. in this town, and I want to give you a chance to have another platform to get your message out. And but yeah, I found a lot of ideas that I heard at the salons influence me. Of course they do.
And the lineup, you come up with that, you and Lynn?
Yeah. Well, I have other people that make suggestions. And, you know, because I'm drawing from such a diverse number of sectors of the city, I don't really know all the sectors all that well, and I have to rely on others to give me their advice. And so I have what I call speaker spotters out there looking for people who are doing things, making things happen, and who are thinking interesting thoughts about the community. And I personally, I just love it. So being able to share it with others is a real joy.
And politics is not off limits if someone wanted to talk about what's going on right now in political life?
Oh, sure. They're given their own, whatever they want to talk about. But I find that nobody does. You know, like, there's just so many other deep issues of the community. And, of course, they relate to politics in many cases. You know, we've had Professor Mark Jacquard last time, who was one of the authors of the carbon tax. But he didn't talk about the tax itself. He talked about the big picture of carbon and the risks to humanity. We had Patrick Condon, professor at UBC, talking about streetcars, you know, or at least that was a little bit of his presentation. And, you know, there's lots of streetcar issues, but nobody really goes to the particular proposal. You know, they want to talk about the big picture.
How does the big picture look currently in the city?
Oh, it's a great city, you know, and I'm very confident that cities are very resilient. They can handle what most political people throw at them, and they'll survive and do very well. I know that we're really an exemplary city in the continent, not so much in the world. You know, we have lots of work to do, but it's a great city.
Is this big picture stuff? You've been in politics a long time. I've been following politics for a while. It seems that the big picture stuff isn't what they talk about at election time. It's sort of personalities. More.
Yeah.
The next campaign, do you think that we'll be debating some of these big issues?
No. Kim Campbell, you know, was soundly derided for her comment about, you know, an election campaign is no time to talk about serious policy issues.
Yeah.
But when you look at how campaigns are actually operated, and what, you know, who's making decisions based on what, you know, there's a lot of people that really don't have a big, you know, they don't have a deep history of knowledge of the political issues. And it's what political people have discovered is that it's very easy to influence people through sound bites, through, you know, portraying things in one way or another, and it's unfortunate. I wish that campaigns could be more about the big picture and about the real issues of society. You know, when I was in China, I had to justify our democratic system. You know, these young Chinese idealistic people were asking me, you know, at that point the top story was, the big question from the media to the prime minister, if you had to be any kind of fruit, what fruit would you be? I don't even recall that during the campaign, and this was the top story. And then the second story was a bird shitting on Stefan Dion's shoulder. And they were asking me, like, can you explain this democracy and what the fruit and the bird on shitting on the shoulder has to do with choosing your leader? And, you know, I actually thought we should really go into lockdown during our campaigns. That it's embarrassing to... We're trying to convince the rest of the world to become democratic, and then we got this kind of crap going on. And, you know, people are making decisions on voting based on on this kind of stuff. So, you know, it's certainly, you know, we need people talking about the big picture issues. And for me, it's such a pleasure to be able to put on these public salons and actually hear stuff that I wish we could actually hear during campaigns, but I don't think we are going to hear that for quite a long time until we get a better handle on how to manage our political process.
What do you make of the current group that's there at Cambie and 12th at the moment?
Well, I try not to make... I've been very careful to be not getting involved in political commentary as much as I can. You know, I can respect every person who's involved in public service. I know that it's not easy, and I know you. One of my city councilors said after it was over, they thought they needed counseling. You know, it's a bizarre little bubble that you live in the political arena, and it can be quite unpleasant at many times, and quite pleasant at other times, but in all cases it's rewarding. You know, you actually feel like you actually did something and the city's different because you were there, but it is a big sacrifice, a big price to pay personally.
Do you ever think about what would have happened had you run in that election?
Well, I was quite convinced that I was going to win and get a bigger majority. That was the way I had organized the campaign, and we had a campaign manager a year before we were going into it. I think I had all of the elements in order. You know, we know from studies that 85% of all Western Canadian local government incumbents win. It's just a natural law, and so you start immediately from a big advantage. And you know, I've always been good at campaigns. Well, I like to think that, or at least people have noted that the ward system campaign. I came back, you know, from way behind.
Right.
I had the campaign against Culp in 2005. I came from way behind, so I specialize in that. In fact, I had gone through a period where I was actually trying to get my numbers a little lower. They weren't comfortable for me, you know. But we have a very strategic, you know, view on how elections should be managed, and it's a technical one and a strategic one. But you know, I was quite comfortable. Of course, you can never tell in the world of politics. But it's one thing that I had told my caucus is split and you die. That was the lesson from the previous two elections. You know, there was the NPA split, we got wiped out. Culp split, they got wiped out. And I can't believe it, but we learned it once again.
Yeah.
NPA split, we got wiped out. It's still kind of... amazing that after me giving that lesson, you know, constantly over and over, we did fall into the same trap.
Is there bitterness on your part?
No, are you kidding? I'm so grateful. it was a graceful way out. Not that graceful, but it was a way out that you know, rather than just you know, bowing out on my own. You know, I was. You know, we went through that political process. And I had a way to get my life back, to tell you the truth. And so I'm really enjoying these things. The Global Civic Policy Society, you know, the name comes from the idea that a lot of the important global issues of the world are actually dealt with. And the initiation of the problem solving comes usually from local levels. A lot of the great initiatives in the world started at some community level, at a local government level. And so my hope is by hosting these and giving thinkers and doers a chance to speak, that maybe some of their ideas will catch on and start to be carried around the world.
The rise of the city-state, that's obviously inevitable, right?
Well, the globalization does seem to have that effect. It does seem to make the city a key player. And in the Canadian system, this is pretty difficult because there's probably no other country in the world where the city as an entity is weaker structurally than in Canada. You know, European cities have, American cities have these access to different revenue sources, and they have much more power and authority. Canadian cities, we are not even, we don't even legally exist. We are completely a creature of the province. There's no constitutional basis for the, you know, the organization of the city. It's simply a convenient thing that the province, you know, believes that, that they can do that. There's no requirement for a city to be even democratic. You know, that's not a part of our constitution. So, you know, but with the cities becoming more important in the global network, yeah, no, it's important.
And the influence of cities in Canada, you say that historically they've been weak. Will we see an increase, perhaps, in power and influence?
I think you're going to see that because we will have to. We will be forced by the global network. You know that when people see internationally that city that our cities happen to be very weak, not able to attract, for instance, cultural infrastructure, other infrastructure, you know, it's going to affect the economy of the whole country. So I think there will be a reason. There will be a real natural push to give cities more clout, more power, more ability to do things and improve the quality of their life.
Is there anything, back to politics for just a sec, is there anything that could happen that you could run again?
Oh, God, that would there would be have to be a lot of changes to make that happen. But no, I'm not even thinking about it.
I watched some of the clips from the previous salons on your website at globalcivic.org. One of the things that struck me, and the lineups are great, this lineup that's coming up on the 23rd is just great, and I hope to be there. The lineup from the previous one in June was excellent. Have you given any thought to having, say, the whole group on stage at once to talk?
Yeah, we thought about that. Remember that well, we have a certain time limitation, and to get something really functional, that where you could have some really good interaction, that would be difficult. But what we do is we have a place basically at the end. We're entering at 9 o'clock p.m. and we're going to keep the lobby open until about 10:30. And what the staff was shocked with at the theater last time was that in most shows, people are out. As soon as the show is over, they're out the door. In this public salon, everybody wanted to stay. Like, very few people actually left. And the staff ended up herding people out of the lobby. This time, we're keeping the lobby open, and people love having personal conversations with the speakers. And so we're gonna try that out this time.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll see you there on the 23rd, Sam.
Yeah, I'd love to.
And I appreciate the time today. I've enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. The Public Salon is Thursday, the 23rd of September, 7:30 at the Playhouse. Tickets can be had at tickets tonight.ca. The website for the organization is globalcivic.org. The former mayor of the City of Vancouver, Sam Sullivan, on the line. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Plunto.